I thought maybe I heard almost a clap. Was that a clap? Or did I just hearing things? Almost. Man, you know, we can get a little excited about the Lord. We really should get a little excited about the Lord. I can't think of one thing about him that we wouldn't be excited about. I mean, can you think about that? You think about one thing you wouldn't be excited about the Lord? He's so faithful. He's so good. He's so merciful. He's so patient. So gracious, loving, powerful, wise. Man, he's so good, isn't he? Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 103 this morning. I know it's Mother's Day, but I'm not going to do a Mother's Day sermon. I don't think God plans his calendar around our holidays, so I don't preach around our holidays unless God says to. But I want to talk this morning about expressing gratitude to the God of grace. You know, we have been so blessed. And again, you know, sometimes I want to be careful about this because, you know, we go through seasons as individuals and families and churches and nations and those kind of things. And sometimes it's like when things are going really well, man, we always want to make sure we praise God and look at God and think about God. But when things aren't going so well, you know, we have a little bit different approach to God. And so I want to be careful because God has been blessing. I mean, Rick was right. Our missions conference was a powerful time. It was a powerful time. If you weren't able to make it, it is on YouTube. Go to College Heights Baptist Church Casper on YouTube and just listen to the messages that the guys shared with us. They were powerful and encouraging and true. You know, have you ever thought about just truth? Truth is powerful. I mean, it doesn't matter how it's spoken. It just resonates and it gives us something to stand on. And as followers of Christ, the truth about God's call to fulfill his mission and to impact lives and to see people as lost and the need to share the hope that we have with them and just the reality that by sharing the gospel, the simple gospel, people still come to know Christ and are redeemed from their sins, bought out of the penalty for sin, which is death, and given life and a relationship with God. That's powerful. But I mean, God blessed us with our missions conference, and I'm super thankful for that. I'm always humbled when we are blessed to walk with men from halfway around the world and we see Christ in them. You know, it's still kind of humorous to me that Americans really do believe that we got the corner market on everything. Like everything that we have is the best in the world, even Christianity. And the only reason we believe that is because we've never been anywhere else, to be honest with you. But then you meet guys like we met this week that are faithful and deep and insightful in the Word, and we realize that God's power is displayed all over the world, right? But then we talked about baptisms, and man, with the pastors and Jerry were praying this morning, and we're like, why don't we just do this every Sunday? Why don't we just baptize somebody every Sunday? You want a pretty good thing to pray about? That'd be pretty good, right? Lord, pray for somebody to be saved every single week of this year so that we can see your glory displayed every week in baptism. Wouldn't that be awesome? But then be careful because sometimes we get used to the glory of God. We don't. Anyway, my whole point is that I want to talk about today this heart to express gratitude. You know, what does it look like? What is it going to take? It's a question that I mull over sometimes in my own mind. Like, what is it going to take for me personally? And what is it going to take for us as a church to be a man and a church that's continually grateful, continually thankful, continually worshiping? You know, the Lord said of the Pharisees that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, is that ever true of us? When we gather as a church, is that ever true of you on a daily opportunity in your relationship with Christ? Is that ever true? Because it should never be true. It should never be true. Whenever we worship, which we should be doing continually, we should be thinking about God. We should be thinking about who he is. We should be thinking about what he's done. We should be emotionally attached. And I know we're Baptist. I know. Like, we're not supposed to have emotions, right? Like, if we get too emotional, you know, we don't know what to do with that. I'm not talking about fake anything. I'm talking about a genuine relationship with God, whereby we consider him as we worship. Because what if we're not considering him, what are we worshiping, right? So Psalm 103, we'll just begin with verses 1 and 2. We're going to go through the whole thing, but we'll begin with verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for your goodness this morning. You are always an amazing God. You're the only God, which makes you amazing. You are God in the good circumstances. You are God in the trials. You are God when life is just overflowing with blessings and joy. And you are God in the lean times, in the hard times, in the broken times, and in loss. You are God. And you are worthy of praise. You're worthy of praise every single day. You do not change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so whatever our circumstances are today, you are the same today as you were yesterday. And you're going to be the same tomorrow, no matter how our circumstances change. And Lord, the truth is that you're worthy of our praise and you're worthy of our worship. And I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us this morning, that we might continually grow to worship you and to love you and to give you all the glory that you deserve. And Lord, I just pray your blessings on this time. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Here's an interesting thing about this psalm. I mean, I love to read the psalms because they are written to various people. They're addressed to various people. Sometimes they're addressed to God. Sometimes they're addressed to other people. Sometimes they're addressed to the Jews. Sometimes they're addressed to the Gentiles. But this psalm is unique in that it's written by David, King David, the second king of Israel, and it's addressed to himself. It's unique. I mean, it's awesome. Just think about this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I mean, David is literally writing this psalm to himself as inspired by God. And the first thing basically that he does is share with us how a person should praise God. I mean, basically, David is looking at himself and speaking to himself and encouraging himself to worship the Lord. I think that's pretty insightful. I mean, I think it's actually really insightful. Here's a man that God declared before making him king is a man after God's own heart, right? This is a unique man, completely gifted, chosen by God, king of Israel, and yet he knows that if he doesn't kind of self-check himself, if he doesn't kind of look at himself and say, this is what I need to be doing in my relationship with God, he knows he probably won't do that. How true is that of us? Do you have to actually engage your mind in the process of seeing God and worshiping God? Do you actually have to bring your mind with you when you come on Sunday morning so that you can worship the Lord the way he deserves to be worshiped? When you take time for your quiet time, whatever that is, in the morning or in the afternoon, in the evenings, do you have to actually engage with yourself and go, man, I'm going to approach God. How am I going to approach God in my quiet time? How am I going to approach God when I come to church? I mean, did you actually take some time this morning to consider, we're going to go worship the living God together as a people, and what in the world is that going to look like? Or did you do like some of us, man, you got up, barely made it, kind of rushed to get here, threw some things in your mouth before you got here and kind of went, whew, man, I'm glad we got here. And there's no expectations, there's no thoughts, there's no engagement, there's no consideration. Because David understood what that was like. And so he says to himself, bless the Lord, O my soul. I mean, sometimes we go, what in the world does it mean to bless the Lord, O my soul? But he describes it, right? And all that is within me, bless his name. All that is within me. Man, when we begin to talk about worshiping God, how should we worship God? We should worship God with all that we have. We should bless his holy name with every ounce of our being. There should be nothing to hold us back. Worship should be, simply put, wholehearted worship. But man, even that's a challenge, isn't it? I mean, be honest with yourself. Are you worshiping God with all of your heart when you come before him? Or are you distracted by something? Or are you holding something back when you worship him? Are you worried about what people think about you when you worship him? Are you worried about what you look like when you worship him? I mean, there's all kinds of questions. Maybe, honestly, sometimes we hold back worship from God because we, somewhere in our hearts and our minds, actually think that we are the ones providing for ourselves, or we are the ones preserving our lives, or we are the ones that are making things happen in this world. And while we appreciate God, you know, he's not really that big a deal. Listen, that happens all the time. But you know, when you boil it all down, I mean, we really aren't that big a deal. We're going to see what God tells us about ourselves a little bit later on in this psalm. But yesterday, did a funeral for a man that was a member of our church, and a man that had a lot of suffering in his life, a lot of sickness in his life, a lot of other struggles in his life, and then had really kind of come through cancer and some other sickness and was actually getting better. He was here just 2 weeks ago with his great-grandson and then just had a heart attack and died completely unexpectedly. And, you know, the last time I talked to him, he said to me, I'm finally feeling better. I think I'm beginning to get my strength back. And he looked good. He looked good, and he hadn't looked good for quite some time. But then he passed away, and he was 1 year older than me. I know for you young people, you're thinking, well, man, that dude was old. I know for me, I'm thinking he wasn't very old at all. But my point is that, you know, sometimes the reason that we don't really worship God is because somehow in our minds, we really are convinced that, you know, we are movers and shakers, right? Movers and shakers. What exactly do we move? What exactly do we shake? Because we're not that big a deal, no matter what we think. And most of the time, whatever we have accomplished on this earth is just temporary anyway. It doesn't last, right? But David was thinking about God. We're going to see how he does that in a minute. And so as he's thinking about and engaging in who God is, he says, how could I worship him with anything but all that is within me? All that is within me, bless his holy name. Every ounce of my wisdom, every ounce of my strength, every ounce of my heart, all that is within me should bless his holy name. He's holy, he's mighty, he's good, he's gracious, he's patient, he's merciful, he's forgiving. Man, he has provided for my life. Why would we not worship him with all that is in us? And then he says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Man, one of the great dangers that we face every single day in our life is to forget the blessings and the benefits of God. And God warned his people back in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He warns them, and he says, verses 10 through 14 say, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, Then you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers never had known, to humble and test you so that in the end it may go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so it confirms the covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. David says, man, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Because what happens is that God pours out his blessings on us, just like he did Israel. Israel was slaves. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. How powerful were they? 400 years they could not set themselves free. You and I are slaves to sin. We're slaves to sin. Man, if it's not a slave to sin that destroys your physical life or your relationships in this world, it certainly has destroyed your relationship with God. And you are helpless, and I was helpless, as a slave to sin to do anything about it. But then God sent Christ to redeem us, to buy us out of slavery through his death on the cross and his resurrection. It's faith in him. And sometimes, honestly, as Americans, we are the most blind, foolish, stubborn, proud, arrogant people on the planet. And if you don't believe that, go ask somebody who's met an American in their country, and many of them will tell you, when I meet Americans, they come tell me how I should live my life in my own country. There's nothing more arrogant than that. There's nothing more proud than that. America has become a place where we have decided we're the greatest nation on earth by what we've done and what we've built. Are you one of those people? You're convinced you built your life. You're convinced you built your home. You're convinced you built your wealth. There's too many examples in the Bible, too many examples in life. I mean, do you remember what Jesus spoke about the man who had such great crops? He had such great crops, he had to tear down his buildings that he stored grain in and build bigger barns to store his grain in. And when he gets done, he says, man, I have so much, I can just eat, drink, and be merry because I have enough for my life. You know what God said to him? You fool, this very night, your soul will be required of you. Who built his wealth? Who caused the seed to grow in the ground? Who caused the sun to shine? Who caused the rain to fall? Did that guy take that seed of grain? You ever looked at grain? I'm sure you have. I'm a kind of a corn seed from Illinois. I've seen lots of grain go through my hand. I've built bins to put grain in. I've worked in the fields. You ever looked at a grain, a seed of corn, soybeans, anything, and thought, what in the world? How does this work? I'm going to drop it in the ground. And then it's going to become something that it didn't start like. It's going to become a green plant, and it's going to have leaves, and it's going to produce more of these seeds. You ever thought about that? Did you do that? You gardeners, did you do that? No. 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 Are you kidding me? You made that thing grow? Did you make the dirt? Did you make the nutrients? Did you do anything really but put that thing in the ground? Truth is, no. Man, why would we forget the benefits of God? And yet we do so often because honestly, we love to kind of point the glory to ourselves. Man, just pick something out of your garden. Just pick something out of your garden and look at what a miracle it is. One of my favorite things is tomatoes. Love tomatoes. When I was a kid, I used to love to just go out to my garden when they got ripe, just pick one off, clean it off, and eat it. like it. It's amazing. Matter of fact, very few things better than a fresh tomato. Not these things from Walmart. Nick is like, well, pick whatever you want, Nick. Pick your favorite vegetable, whatever. But just think about that thing again. What a miracle it is. You know, sometimes we actually like to take credit for creating children, right? You know, man, I'll never forget when our first daughter was born. I wasn't walking with Christ at the time. But I remember being there through the whole process. It was a long, arduous, interesting process, and she was born pretty sick. But, man, when she was born, I'm not very smart, but I knew that that was not some accident. I knew that that didn't happen from some cosmic confusion or some sort of random, you know, happening with no design. How could that be? How could that be? How could that child be created in my wife? How could that child be birthed to such a miraculous process? I mean, what a glory to our God. Do we forget the benefits that God has given us? Do we forget? Man, the way we ought to worship God is with our minds open to who he is and what he has done. As a matter of fact, as we go through this passage of scripture, he goes on to talk about why a person should praise God. Look at verses 3-5. He says, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Man, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And the first benefit he talks about is who pardons all your iniquities. Can you imagine? Why should we worship God? Because he pardons all of our iniquities through Christ Jesus. The word all is used several times in this passage of scripture, and it's fantastic, but all of your iniquities. How many iniquities do you have? How many? 10? 20? Million? I mean, really. I know, again, sometimes we really struggle to go that I'm such a sinner, but when you compare our sins to the holiness of God, we are vile sinners. We're not just casual. I hear it all the time. Don't really tell me how bad a person I am, Pastor, because I'm not really that bad. Oh, you are. And I don't even know how bad you are. Thank the Lord. Don't tell me. I don't need to know it all. I know how bad I am. I know how many times I sin. I know how many times that I sin that I don't really know that I've sinned. Do you do that? You ever have a realization later on that, man, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said it the way I did, or did I say it in a way that hurt somebody when I didn't mean to hurt them? Have you ever thought those thoughts before? Have you ever realized that, man, you've been living your life maybe throughout the day and you haven't had one consideration of God? You've made decision after decision after decision, and you should have asked him. You should have sought him. Are you doing what he wants you to do? Are you walking in his will? Are you giving him glory for what you've done? I mean, we don't even think sometimes about all the sin that goes on in our life. And yet the Bible says that we should praise God with all that is in us because he has pardoned all of our iniquities. And if you think about how he does that, through Jesus Christ, that worship ought to go even higher. God's Son, God himself, became a man, took the form of a man, was obedient to the point of death, and then on that cross became our sin, and then was punished. All the wrath of God was poured out on him because he loves us, because there was no other way to save us. So he took the punishment that we deserved so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. How amazing is that? Man, if you're saved today, you ought to be with all your heart praising God today because all of your iniquities have been pardoned. Hallelujah. That's crazy to me. Man, that's crazy to me. That's a God that loves us. And we ought to praise him for it. Well, then he says, who heals all your diseases. Now, I know that there's some people that take this and go, well, man, if I'm in Christ, then God is going to heal everything that I have when I get sick. That's not what this is talking about. That's not what this is talking about. Believers still get sick and die. They have all along. What's he talking about? He's talking about every time we are healed, it's God. That's all he's talking about. David had been sick and he'd been healed. And so every time we get healed, if you had COVID and got over it, praise God, that's God. If you had a cold and got over it, that's God. I love these commercials about cancer. I got cancer, but I'm going to overcome cancer. No, you're not. No, if you get healed of cancer, it's God. I mean, it's ridiculous. Who do we think we are? Do we really think that we're going to have some sort of decision in our life that's going to determine whether we overcome cancer or not? We're going to be the victors? No. Man, we need to realize that when we have good health, that's because God is good to us. Do you have good health today? Thank you for your health. Thank you for overcoming whatever you've dealt with in your life. Man, just praise God. We don't give God nearly enough credit for the things that happen in our lives. It is him every single day. He heals all your diseases. Then he says, who redeems your life from the pit? That kind of goes right along with diseases because it speaks about the man that's come close to death, so close to death that he literally thought he was going to die. The pit would refer to Sheol, the place of death. And David says, man, who delivers us from the pit, right, of death. Have you ever had a time in your life where maybe you thought you were going to die? I mean, pick it. Maybe you got sick and thought that was going to be it. Maybe you were in a car wreck and thought that was going to be it. I mean, maybe you've been in battle. I don't know what it is. Maybe you've been so close, you thought, man, this is going to be it. And by the grace of God, he spared you and redeemed you from the pit. Was that the result of the work of a doctor, or was that the result of the work of God using a doctor? Or is that just the result of a God being gracious and merciful? I mean, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you really believe in the power of prayer? Yesterday we were getting ready for the funeral, and I come in, and Barb and my son Aaron are back there trying to get the music and the slideshow working, and it's not working. And so they're trying this and they're trying that, and then I was gracious to say to Aaron, oh, by the way, they want to show this over in the small gym when they're doing their meal afterwards, which he didn't know till about 20 after 12, and I know he appreciated me sharing it so early. And so they're kind of stressing out a little bit back there. And I just stood up on that chair right there where I could see him. And I said, well, let's just do what we should have done in the first place. Let's pray. And we just prayed. And then it started working. And they didn't do anything different. Do you not know God is real? Do you not know he deserves praise? If he cares about how our technology works, and whether we can show a video for a broken family or not, does he not care about our life? And he gives us life on purpose for his glory, and we should praise him, should we not? I love what he says. He says, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? What does that look like? What does it look like that he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion? And all it means is that by his goodness, we wear his loving kindness and compassion everywhere we go. We wear it because he gives it to us so freely and so abundantly. His kindness and his compassion, the holy God. Isn't that amazing? Goes on to say in verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Have you had good things in your life over the years? Man, as an American, trust me. Trust me, you have so many good things. These two men from Zambia, you know, they're intelligent men. They're powerful in the Lord. But if you would see where they live and if you would see what they have, you'd realize that compared to American standards, they don't come anywhere close. Nowhere close. I've said this so many times, and yet I still hear Christian people in America actually say to me, "What has God ever done for me?" Christian people, what has God ever done for me? Well, first start with Jesus and stop with Jesus. But then if you have any kind of insight whatsoever, realize that you have running water in your house. Realize that you have hot water in your house. Realize that you have a refrigerator in your house. Do you know how many people in this world don't have a refrigerator in their house? Realize that you probably have a store of food in your house. Do you have a store in your food in your house? Do you have a pantry of some sort whereby you open it and sometimes you go, "I need to clean this pantry out. I don't have any room for more stuff in my pantry." You ever do that? Do you realize that the world does not have a pantry in their house? Do you realize the world doesn't have extra food for them to eat? Do you realize that these two men that we had with us eat in Shema every day, boiled cornmeal every day, and they love it and they thank God for it, but they eat that predominantly because they don't really have much else to eat. And when they have some vegetables, they'll cook those vegetables and eat it with the Shema. If they get some fish, they'll eat it with their Shema. They have chickens every now and then. They don't always eat meat every day because they don't have meat to eat every day. Do you know that? Do you realize how blessed we are? Do you realize that of all the things that we could do, complaining about what we don't have could be the most ridiculous thing ever? Ever? It's a ridiculous thing for us. We're so blessed, and yet sometimes we actually hear people say, "What has God ever done for me?" And David says, "Look, man, the Lord has satisfied your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Your vigor, your strength, your youth is renewed. We're so blessed. Do you realize that when we do get seriously sick, we can drive to the hospital here and we have qualified doctors and we have all kinds of things that they will do for us, medications and tests and machines that they can deliver us from some of these diseases through the grace of God? Do you realize that most people in this world can't get there, can't do that, don't have it available? Do you realize that most people in this world, in third world countries, they die and they don't even know what they die of? They don't know what they die of. They just die because they don't have enough medical care to know what they're sick with. And yet here we are sometimes struggling to praise God. The church in America today is struggling because they're not sure if God really loves them and if they should really follow him. Well, listen, stop one step before following him and start praising him. Start praising him. Start being thankful. It's not hard to follow a God who's blessed us in so many ways. Man, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We have every reason in the world to praise the Lord. It really does start and stop with Jesus, but with Jesus then comes blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. He's worthy of praise. We shouldn't struggle to praise. We shouldn't struggle to come to church. We shouldn't struggle to read our Bibles. We shouldn't struggle to spend time in prayer. We shouldn't struggle with that. Why would we not want to do that? He's so good. Man, David says, I got to remind myself, bless the Lord. We got to remind ourselves, bless the Lord. Well, then he says, takes us through what God is like, that we should praise him. Read along with me, verses 6 through 18. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for a man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. And those verses are amazing. I'm not going to go through them one by one. I'm sure you're thankful for that to some degree. But I want you to think about what David said here, what he asserts about God. He declares that God performs righteous deeds and judgments to the oppressed. Man, you want a message today amidst all of the turmoil and all of the hatred and all the bitterness and resentment that's in our nation from those that are oppressed or consider themselves to be oppressed? Why don't you turn to God? Why don't you point them to God, who does, by his grace, perform righteous deeds and judgments for the oppressed? What a message for our nation today. It's not social justice that we're looking for. It's the righteous deeds of the living God. He states that God is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love. Hallelujah. He asserts that God will not always strive against us or be angry forever with us, and that he hasn't dealt with us according to the demands of our sin. That's a sermon all by itself. Isn't it amazing that God has not dealt with us according to the demands of our sin? Because if that's what he wanted, if that's what we got, then it would be hell for all of us, right? He says that God's love is as great toward those who fear him as the heavens are higher than the earth. How high are the heavens than the earth? I know there are somebody somewhere that can measure it, supposedly. If they knew where the heavens end, but they don't. Can you imagine a love that is immeasurable? Because that is the love of God. Immeasurable. He says that God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Once again, talking about so far that it could never return. He's removed our sins. Man, I don't know if I can talk about that enough. I don't know. I don't know how to even put those in words sometimes. I don't know how to wrap my mind around that sometimes. I can't figure out why God would do that. I can't figure out how a man like me deserves that, and I don't. But all of my sins through Christ Jesus and all of your sins through Christ Jesus have been removed, and they will never be held against us again. He tells us that just like an earthly father has compassion for his kids, God has compassion on those who fear him. And don't you love that he knows that we are weak and temporary, like dust and weeds that disappear, and yet he has compassion on us. And then he says that God's loving kindness is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness is to generations to those who keep his covenant. That's our God. And all of these things kind of fall under one single truth, which is God is gracious or God is merciful. Have you thought about that lately? Have you thought about how gracious he is? Have you thought about how merciful he is? Even in death. Even in death, maybe especially in death, he's merciful. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. What grace. That one day he would rescue us from this broken world. Death for a believer, no, it's not tragic for the believer. It's deliverance for the believer. It's life for the believer. It's rescue, redemption for the believer. Yes, families grieve, and we should grieve when we lose a loved one. But don't you miss the grace of God. It's his character. It's his faithfulness. It's displayed in his love. And he's worthy of worship because of all these things whereby he is so gracious. And it's so easy sometimes to actually take our eyes off of Jesus and put them on the things of this world. Right? Because if our eyes are down, then we do see the pain and we do experience suffering. And there is wickedness and there is just this unrighteousness, and it does just kind of suck the life out of us. If you look on a news channel, the first thing you hear is about murders or mass murders or child abuse or disgusting, deplorable things. And it's true of this world. I mean, I'm not minimizing any of that. It's so true of this world. But it is not true of God. God is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's a lover of our souls. He sent Jesus to rescue us from that, and he's filled with grace and compassion, and he washes us clean of all of our sins, and he makes us his sons and daughters. That's who God is. God's not like us. Man, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so high is his love for us, so rich and so deep and so amazing is his love for us. I mean, he loves us. We should be shouting it. We should be celebrating it. We should be thanking him for it in the midst of all the brokenness that we see. We should marvel at the fact that he would love us, though we have sinned against him, and we have sinned against him a lot. We should still marvel this love and this grace. Man, of all the things we should be doing is saying to self, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Matter of fact, David finishes this passage and he says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. What a fantastic verse. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and he rules over all. His sovereignty rules over all. He's God. There is no other. And then he says, and I love this, he turns his attention from himself and he says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And he finishes this by saying, every created creature, all the angels, all the hosts of heaven, all his works, which, by the way, you and me, and all creation, his works. And then David says, and again, bless the Lord, O my soul. I have so many reasons to praise God today. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ here today, man, you and I have every single reason to praise him. Are you going through some tough times, maybe? Well, fair enough. He didn't promise that we wouldn't go through tough times, right? He didn't sell us short. Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. He didn't sell us short. He didn't lie to us. He didn't promise something he didn't come through with. He saved us. He keeps us. He gave us the Holy Spirit who's with us. We have everything we need. We have comfort when we grieve. We have strength when we're weak. We have direction when we're lost and confused. We have peace in the midst of chaos because of Christ and who he is. And we have assurance. He's promised, like I said, John 14, 1 through 3, to come for us and to receive us to himself, that we will be where he is. We have every reason to praise him. Don't take your eyes off of him and praise him. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have reason to praise him as well. Start with the fact that he created you and he knows you and he loves you. Then move on to the fact that he sent Jesus for you too. He sent Jesus for you too. He sent Jesus to die for your sins like he sent Jesus to die for my sins. He sent Jesus to take the punishment that you deserve because he loves you. And Jesus rose from the dead to overcome sin and death for us. If you don't know Christ today, you should be praising him because he's been patient with you. Because he hasn't judged you as you deserve already. Because he's given you the grace to come to him and trust him today. You should be thankful that you have the chance to do that today. And honestly, if you call on him today, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. It's a promise. So, how about we bless the Lord with all that is in us? Bless his holy name. Let's pray.